Blog Talk Radio.
But we are making a stand, and we're waking everybody up that 9/11 was an inside job. And you are the minority. You are the cowards who don't know the truth. You're the people that serve this evil system. You're the people that serve a system that hurts innocent men, women, and children. Not just Iraqis, not just Afghans, not just Africans, but the people right here in this nation. You serve a new world order that attacks and feeds on you. And I'm here to tell you that you will be defeated. Your hours are numbered. We've got the energy. We've got the life force. All you've got is evil backing you up. All you've got is greed and liking to look at yourself in the mirror. Because deep down, the New World Order is a pot-bellied, chicken-necked ninny. And all the armor and all the weapons are nothing. You are nothing compared to good. You are nothing compared to life. And you will be defeated. I want the individuals out there, I want free humanity to turn themselves loose, to cut the chains loose, and to use the end of that chain to slap the New World Order right upside the head. You've got the power. You want to know who can defeat the New World Order? It is you. You're the individuals that are going to be able to defeat this system. You're the individuals that are going to be able to take down the New World Order. It doesn't matter if Ron Paul wins. It doesn't matter if they rig the election. What matters is that we're starting to stand up. We're starting to move. We're starting to find our legs. We're starting to build our muscles. We're starting to realize that we do have power, and we can work together, and we can take action, and that the naysayers are a pack of weak liars who have never had any successes in their life and who are upset and frustrated to see us beginning to have victories against tyranny. They don't have any respect for themselves. They don't have any vision. And they don't have any will. And they sure don't have any of the power that shines out of God's soul and energizes all life in the universe. They have wed themselves to death. And they will crumble, and they will fall, and for eternity, we wed ourselves to life, and to everything good, and everything that flows from it.
And if anybody wants to protest what we do, or violate what we want, we just turn off the chip.
That's right, microchips. In 2005, Congress, under the pretense of immigration control and the so-called war on terrorism, passed the REAL ID Act, under which it is projected by May 2008, you will be required to carry around a federal identification card, which includes on it a scannable barcode with your personal information. However, this barcode is only an intermediary step before the card is equipped with a VeriChip RFID tracking module, which will use radio frequencies to track your every move on the planet. If this sounds foreign to you, please note that the RFID tracking chip is already in all new American passports. And the final step is the implanted chip, which many people have already been manipulated into accepting under different pretenses.
We have a Florida family who are really pioneers in a brave new world. They have volunteered to be the first ever to have microchip identification devices implanted into their bodies.
After 9/11, I was really concerned with the security of my family.
I wouldn't mind having something planted permanently in my arm that would identify me.
In the end, everybody will be locked into a monitored control grid where every single action you perform is documented. And if you get out of line, they can just turn off your chip, for at that point in time, every single aspect of society will revolve around interactions with the chips. This is the picture that is painted for the future if you open your eyes to see it. A centralized one-world economy where everyone's moves and everyone's transactions are tracked and monitored, all rights removed. The most incredible aspect of all. These totalitarian elements will not be forced upon the people. The people will demand them. For the social manipulation of society through the generation of fear and division has completely detached humans from their sense of power and reality. a process which has been going on for centuries, if not millennia. Religion, patriotism, race, wealth, class, and every other form of arbitrary, separatist identification, and thus conceit, has served to create a controlled population, utterly malleable in the hands of the few. Divide and conquer is the motto, and as long as people continue to see themselves as separate from everything else, they lend themselves to being completely enslaved. The men behind the curtain know this, and they also know that if people ever realize the truth of their relationship to nature, and the truth of their personal power, the entire manufactured zeitgeist they prey upon will collapse like a house of cards.
The whole system that we live in drills into us that we're powerless, that we're weak, that our society is evil, that it's fragmented, et cetera, and so forth. It's all a big, fat lie. We are powerful, beautiful, extraordinary. There is no reason why we cannot understand who we truly are, where we are going. There is no reason why the average individual cannot be fully empowered. We are incredibly powerful beings.
Now, I think I spent 30 years of my life, in the first 30, trying to become something. I wanted to become good at things. I wanted to become good at tennis. I wanted to become good at school and grades and everything I kind of viewed in that perspective. I'm not okay the way I am, but if I got good at things, I realized that I had the game wrong. The game was to find out what I already was.
For individual differences to stand out. So you look at each person, the immediate hit is brighter, dumber, older, younger, richer, poorer, and we make all these dimensional distinctions, put them in categories and treat them that way. And we get so that we only see others as separate from ourselves in the ways in which they're separate. And one of the dramatic characteristics of experience is being with another person and suddenly seeing the ways in which they are like you, not different from you. And experiencing the fact that which is essence in you and which is essence in me is indeed one. The understanding that there is no other. It is all one. And I wasn't born Richard Alpert. I was just born as a human being. And then I learned this whole business of who I am and whether I'm good or bad or achieving or not. All that's learned along the way.
Like a ride in an amusement park. And when you go on it, you think it's real,
because that's how powerful our minds are. And the ride goes up and down and round. It has thrills and chills, and it's very brightly colored.
And it's very loud, and it's fun for a while. Some have been on the ride for a long time, and they begin to question, is this real,
or is this just a ride? And other people have remembered, and they come back to us, and they say, hey, don't worry.
Don't be afraid ever. Because this is just a ride. and we kill those people.
Shut him up! I've got a lot invested in this ride. Shut him up!
Look at my furrows of worry. Look at my big bank account and
my family. This has to be real. It's just a ride. But we'll kill those good guys
and try and tell us that. You ever notice that? And let the demons run amok?
But it doesn't matter, because it's just a ride, and we can change it anytime we want.
It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job,
no savings of money. Just a choice right now between fear and love.
When a silent majority allows their nation to lose its common sense, that nation is lost, and you are allowing them to take your country away from you. Is it common sense to adore at the altar of multiculturalism? Read your world history. Not one nation has survived as a multiculture. It's the uniculture that is your strength. One country, one culture, one language. Is it common sense that 84% of the people want to make English the official language of America, but your majority political party espouses insanity, ignores the people, and says no? Is it common sense that 53 countries, mostly in Africa, have declared English to be their national language, and the party who declares we will unite you says press 2 for Spanish? Is it common sense to adopt your new national religion of diversity when the very word means disunity? We founded a country on similarities, not diversities. One country, one culture, one language. You cry out for unity, but is it common sense to continue to identify yourselves by your ethnicities and not your nationalism? White-America, Black-America, Chinese-America, Hispanic-American, Gay and Lesbian-American, the Black Caucus, the Hispanic Caucus, the Woman's Caucus. You want unity? Change your language. Isn't it time, once again, we all became just plain Americans? Or is that too much common sense? Is it your new common sense now to stand up and cheer when a presidential candidate wants to hand over the health care system to that same government who has run Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and 12 other entitlement programs into bankruptcy? A government bureaucracy who can't run a railroad, your airports, secure your borders, or find 15 to 20 million illegal aliens? That same government that allows Islamic women to take their driver's license picture wearing a neck scarf covering their face because it offends their belief? What's next? Allowing the Ku Klux Klan wearing their hoods? Is it common sense to bankrupt the American treasury? Fighting wars for countries whose silent majority won't fight for themselves? Your debt is now $9.4 trillion. Is it common sense to continue to give away $9 billion of taxpayer money to unfriendly countries in foreign aid, including $2 billion a year to Egypt, who votes against the United States 80% of the time in the United Nations? All this while your own inner cities crumble. 40% of your high school graduates can only read or write at a fourth grade level. You have to import people from China and India for your high-tech industry because you haven't got enough smart people in America. And New Orleans and the flood victims of Iowa continue to be forgotten. This is madness. Lay down your misplaced global burden and rebuild America first. You can't support the world while neglecting your own country. Are you unifying the country with common sense when both of your presidential candidates cry out, we must show compassion for the 15 to 20 million invaders from south of your border? But not one word of compassion for the overburdened American taxpayer who is forced to subsidize the invaders by paying over $250 billion of their hard-earned money to establish America as the welfare department of a failed, corrupt foreign country. Are you unifying your country with common sense by sending out your utility bills and your Social Security checks in Spanish? Legal and illegal immigrants have no incentive to learn your unifying language because you make it easy for them not to assimilate. How many of you write in big letters across that bill, English only, please, and send it back? Stop bending over backwards to accommodate every other culture but your own. Is it common sense to allow your activist judges to ignore your history, your culture, your Declaration of Independence, and every other founding document to remove God from public life? And endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, their creator, not the ACLU, not the will of the atheist, or the anti-Americans that sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Separation of church and state, yes. separation of God from public life never intended by your founding fathers? Is it common sense that the very political party who claims to be the party of the people and shouts, "We will bring change," consistently stops all common sense legislation to secure your borders, establish workplace verification, and stop taxpayer money for illegals? They call themselves progressive global thinkers. We had another word for them in 1776. We called them traitors. This happened all once before. 232 years ago, it led to revolution and thousands of dead in the streets. It will happen again unless you take back America now. Join the grassroots movement of the second American Revolution, not of guns and violence, but pressure, pressure, pressure on your non-representing representatives who created these problems in the first place. This is the most important phone number in your democracy, the congressional switchboard. Pick up your phone every day, every hour if need be, and call your representatives and tell them in no uncertain language to listen to the silent majority or else be thrown out on their hindquarters. It's toll-free, and your taxes pay for it. Would you stand by and watch your family perish when you have the power to save them? Of course not. Then why are you doing that to your own country? 1-866-340-9281. Perhaps you allow all this destructive, uncommon sense out of a distorted notion of tolerance. Remember what Aristotle said, tolerance is the last virtue of a dying society. You are tolerating the behavior that is destroying you. This wine was once rich, highly desired and admired, but when you dilute it with enough water, it stops being anything. Take back America now. Choose to be part of the second American Revolution. Pressure, pressure, pressure. No presidential candidate, no political party can save you now. Only an aroused citizenry will turn this uncommon sense around. And he or she who does nothing now is helping them to destroy America. My name is Thomas Paine, and I approve of this message. I only hope to God you will too.
Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war. But there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement. And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement. And it gives no choice between peace and war. Only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? When Nikita Khrushchev has told his people, he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better rev than death, or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war, because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard around the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance. Winston Churchill said the destiny of man is not measured by material compositions. When great forces are on the move in the world, we learn we're spirits, not animals. He said there's something going on in time and space and beyond time and space, which, whether we like it or not, spells duty. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
Yes, everyone. That was Ronald Reagan, one of his famous speeches. I'm going to have to get a few new ones to put in the introduction. We played that one several times already. But, you know, that's pretty good. That's a good one. Kind of describes the times we're in. My name is Joseph Gibson. It's Blog Talk Radio, Sunday evening. I hope everyone had a happy Thanksgiving, a good Thanksgiving, a safe Thanksgiving. And you got fat on turkey or ham or whatever you ate. And you got to spend some time with your family and friends. Because Thanksgiving that's basically what it's all about. You're supposed to be thankful for what you do have. There's a lot of people out there today that don't have much. They may be going through struggles. They may be having problems. Who knows? They may be sick, not in good health. But, hey, you're still here. You still got what you got. And you got to be thankful for that. And, you know, some people say, well, and I talked to a Christian who's a devout Christian who studies the Bible devoutly and actually does live a pretty pure life, doesn't smoke, doesn't drink, been married for 30 years to the same woman, is retired now, and lives a modest life, attends church, participates in church activities, and tries to help everybody out he can. And he said, you know, when you die, you're actually, that's why they call it in some churches, if you ever drive around here in North Carolina, you'll see on the church billboard, homecoming for a pastor so-and-so. And some people, I remember one person said, what's homecoming? He's coming home from what, a vacation, a trip? No, homecoming means he's dead. He's gone. That means he's going home to heaven. That's what homecoming means. So if you ever see a church sign that says, Pastor so-and-so, Joe Schmo from Kokomo, whoever is homecoming Sunday, such and such a day. Homecoming means that individual has passed away, and the homecoming means he's going home to heaven because he was saved. Okay? So that's what homecoming means when you see those signs in front of churches. You know I've scrutinized a lot of churches over the broadcast shows that I've had. And even when I was on the other network, the Interpraise Media Network, when I was a guest and co-hosted several shows on the Sound Doctrine broadcast, because a lot are corrupt and they are not doing what they should be doing. But there are some good churches out there, and there are some good, real, devout Christians out there who do try to do the best to help people. Because there are a lot of people who are in need that, you know, are struggling. You know, it's hard to just keep the lights on sometimes in the homes of some of these people. And some people this Thanksgiving didn't have a Thanksgiving dinner. They couldn't afford it. There's homes out there with 2, 3, 4, 5 children that did not eat a Thanksgiving dinner. Instead, they were eating ramen noodles or macaroni and cheese. And I've heard stories like that, too, where, you know, because they could barely pay the rent every month. So, and then there's also people out there who are paralyzed, sick. They are dying with a deadly disease. There's children in the hospitals that are dying, don't have much time to live. So, you know. Is your situation where you live today really that bad? So shouldn't you be thankful for what you do have today? You know, see, a lot of people don't realize these things because we live in a modern information age where technology makes us look at the glorious times, the glamorous things. You know, you got your MTV, you got the rock videos, the rap videos. You know, you got entertainment being thrown at you in every different direction. And you don't realize that that's not reality. That's not what life is about. That's not how real people are living. That's a fantasy. That's television programming. They're programming you to believe a certain way that doesn't exactly coincide with what real reality is. That's why when people are hit with reality, they are stunned and shocked. And that's why some people cannot overcome problems that they face today, because they've been trained and taught to live this glamorous, fake, idol-worshipping, paganistic world type, secular world type of living, and they cannot grasp what real reality is. The reality of it is no one's going to pay your bills for you, okay? Nobody's going to put food on the table for you, and it's not one big party out there, okay? You have to go out there and work, earn your money, and barely get by. And that's what a lot of people today are doing, whether or not you believe it or not. So if you're in a very different place than that, then you are not seeing reality. But what I'm trying to say is you should be thankful for what you have, because that's what Thanksgiving is all about, because you're thankful for what you have and what has happened in this country. And you have to remember, the original Thanksgiving were people who sailed over to this country from another land and continent to search for a new way of living. And the pilgrims, when they came to this country, had nothing but clothes on their back. And they were met by the Native Americans who were already here, and they befriended each other, and that's how the first Thanksgiving originated. Okay, so, but you got to say, well, okay, then why did they attack the Indians? Why did blah, blah, blah? Listen, I can't go an entire history lesson for you right now, and your schools aren't going to teach you the truth. You need to go out and seek the truth for yourself. But what I'm trying to say is that's how it began, and it really did begin that way, obviously, because that's what had happened. People were exploring different, we've got to remember, people didn't know America was here, the land that was here. Nobody knew what this was. They thought the earth was flat. You know, people didn't know what other continent and lands were out there. They got on the boat and sailed on a journey that was blind. They didn't have navigation systems, cell phones, air control towers. You know, they went on a boat and just sailed at a whim and a prayer to find a new world. And they did. And they came over here and landed at what we call now today America with the shirts on their back. And they started a new life. Those are really the founding fathers of America, the pilgrims. Okay? Obviously, the Europeans came over here and they became under British rule and established the colonies. And we know what happened after that. Then we had the Indian Wars and fought with the Native Americans and the British. And then we had the Revolutionary War. And, you know, just giving you an outline. And now here we are. We have now America, this, you know, and that's how it all began for the European colonies. Now, those of you who were captured and brought over here as slaves, the African countries, the African kings sold, rounded up tribes of African people, the kings who ruled the land of Africa, okay, and sold their own people to the British and the European colonists, okay, and they were sold by their own people as workers, as slave labor. And they were brought over to this country and many other different countries, and they were used as slaves. They were not recognized as real citizens or human beings or actual people. They were just there to work and be told what to do, and sometimes tortured and whipped, yes. But the kings of Africa are the ones that rounded them up and sold them to the British colonists and the European colonists and many other sectors of the world. We're not going to get into that either. But if you look back into history and what real history proves to be true, that's how it originated and happened. And then obviously the African American people were slaves, and then we were at war with the Native Americans, the Indians. Now, the Indians were not all so innocent. They became jealous of the pilgrims and the Europeans and the British of their new ways of doing things, the technology that they brought over here back then. They did not live off the land or, you know, worship the moon or a tree like the Native Americans did, and they did not like that. So they would attack a lot of the European colonists that were here and the pilgrims. There were many different Indian tribes back then, many, hundreds, and some did not agree with the settlers over here, and they would attack them. Well, you know, I mean, what gives them right to this land? Well, eventually we know what happened. The Indians were conquered, and they were put in their place, and, you know, now they have their reservations, and everybody says the white man's evil for attacking the Indians, but you don't know true history or what really happened back then. And then now we get back to the African people. You know, you had the founding fathers now. They wanted to get underneath the dictatorship of King George and the British. So what happened? We had the Revolutionary War, and the founding fathers recognized that slavery was wrong, and they did not agree with it. However, that was the way of the land back then. That's why they wrote the Constitution, that every man is endowed by his creator to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Okay? Each individual. Okay? And the Constitution applied to every living soul who lives on this continent we call America. Now, of course, there was still slavery back then. But the Founding Fathers, of course, wrote many papers saying they did not agree with slavery. However, if just imagine if Thomas Jefferson said, I'm abolishing slavery, he'd be stoned, okay? Because back then, that was not acceptable. But as time went on, more and more people believed that, you know, slavery was wrong. And now, of course, look what you had. You had the civil rights era. You had all that blah. Now, here we go. Now, the blacks are free in America today, okay? So all this nonsense that's going around America today that, you know, that is just total bull and like the Confederate flag nonsense. We addressed that issue back in the month of July. We had a guest on here, Daryl Anderson from Eden, North Carolina, who has an organization, Keep It Flying, the Confederate flag. You know, so, you know, history is a very interesting subject, okay? But there's one lesson that you need to know when you research history. You cannot open a history book and read three paragraphs and apply that to be the truth. I've had lots of debates and arguments where people, like, for instance, over the Confederate flag. This guy took a page out of a history book and said, see, it stood for racism. Would you read the whole damn book first, okay, and understand why that individual applied it as racism? You have, it's like, you know, when you read a book, you don't start in the middle, you don't start at the end, you start at the beginning. And you go all the way to the end to obtain all the facts and the knowledge that that book or the material that that book offers you. All right? And you have to understand and you have to research what you're really reading. Who wrote that book? Who was this person? Who's the publisher? You know, so you have to, there's a lot of material out there that those people who are interested in history, you have to understand what real history is. You have to go back and research it the right way. Okay, and you have to rightly divide what is truth, what is opinion, and what is total bullcrap. All right, and then you have to come to what I would say is use common sense, what really happened, to make us be living the way we are today. All right, I am a big history person. I like researching history because people are distorting history every single day. I see it, especially with this boob tube television set that we have, these flat screen TVs that are spewing the lies and the nonsense, and these entertainment programs that we call Fox News and CNN. They're really only entertainment. They take a factoid and they take it and they stretch it so that none of it actually really is true when they're done talking about it. So you need to understand what real history teaches. And we'll get back to Thanksgiving because that's how this started. You have to be thankful for the way things really started out and happened in the beginning, or you wouldn't be here today. All right? There would be no America. And if you go through and you go back and you look at how it started, in the beginning and you really research it, it's really interesting. And the progression and how the European colonists and founding fathers of this country established the colonies, and then eventually we became America, and how they adopted the Constitution. These men were obviously divinely blessed because they overcame a military power that was so superior to them that you would say, if you would look at it as, for instance, today as an example, the average everyday citizen taking on the United States military. They overcame great odds, outnumbered, outarmed. The technology that the British had over the Founding Fathers was amazing, but yet they still won. Through courage, through God, guns, and guts. That's what I always like to say, and that's what I learned from history. God, guns, and guts, and that's what founded this country. And the people of today have none of that. None of that. There is no more God. They're ripping it down everywhere you see. Guts? Oh. Yeah, there's a lot of crazy people out there, but courage? Most people today have no courage. They will not sacrifice anything. Even your best friend won't sacrifice anything for you. So it makes you think the next man down the road that you don't even know is going to fight for you. So courage is out the window. Guns? Huh. Guns are evil today to most people. I mean, just look at the mainstream media. Guns? Oh, my Lord. Gun-free zones. Guns are bad. Guns kill people. Blah, 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 blah. So, you know, they're trying to eliminate the guns. Guns, God, and guts. It's all disappearing, and that's how America will be destroyed. But you have to be thankful for what you do have today. And what we do have and have, we need to try to keep it. Because we have lost a lot of liberties in this country today. You no longer have the right to travel. Okay, you need a license to travel. You must carry your papers, your identification, because if you're stopped by a Federal Reserve enforcement officer, I call those the police officers, and you don't have proper identification, they can detain you, and they will fingerprint you or take your blood or whatever, lock you up in a cage until they figure out who you are. So you have no right to travel without your papers in America anymore. You must have your driver's license, your registration, your insurance card, and your vehicle and your means of transportation better be inspected by the state, or you are in trouble and you will be fined or locked up. All right? Do you really have freedom of speech anymore? Everything you say offends the next man. Everyone's offended by what anyone honestly believes, especially if you are a white, especially if you're a white American. So that's another liberty we have lost today. Do you really have the right to bear arms today? Well, yes, you can obtain the right to carry a firearm. But you have to jump through so many hoops nowadays unless you buy it privately, and they're doing away with that. Here in North Carolina, you can obtain a firearm quite easily. There are private sales are still legal. However, if you were to carry a firearm on your side and walk into a store, there would be a panic and you'd be questioned, no doubt. Open carry, even though that's the law of the land, you have the right to bear arms openly and carry it. When you see a gentleman carrying a firearm on his side, do you look at him twice? Wow, that's not normal. Most people do not anymore. So the right to bear arms is going away. I mean, we could just go down the list. But what I'm trying to say is we need to be thankful for what we do have, and we need to be careful not to lose any more of those rights or liberties. Some people say, well, what are you going to do? You can't do anything about it. Blah, blah, blah. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Imagine if the Founding Fathers had that attitude. Huh. We'd still be living under King George. You know? I mean, where are you going to make your final stand? What are you going to do? Okay, cross this line. Okay, cross that line. Okay, cross that line. Before you know it, there's no more lines to draw. Your back is against the wall. Where do you go? What do you do? How many more freedoms are you going to lose? We talked about this on this show many times. Showing ID to pick up your prescription at a drugstore. We talked about it. You know, we talked about the Confederate flag, how it's not, you know, it's banned. You're a racist now if you support it. We talked about many issues this year about individual freedoms and what we have lost just this year. So we need to really address that. And like I said, be thankful this Thanksgiving weekend, even though tomorrow's Monday and Thanksgiving weekend's over. And now we're going to start the pagan holiday, Christmas. We're going to put up a Christmas tree and decorate it. Do you know the Bible addresses Christmas very clearly? Many people do not understand it. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 10, the Bible addresses the Christmas tree. It talks about how they fasten the tree to the ground and deck it with silver and gold and have all the people all over it. That was a pagan ritual to put up a tree and worship it, the Christmas tree. We'll get into that in more shows during the month of December, how Christmas really originated. Where did Christmas really come? Was Jesus born on December 25th? Folks, he was not. He was born sometime in October, the years that we do not know. But according to the Bible, and if you read it, from when Jesus was born, he was not born December 25th. He was born sometime in the month of October. Many people do know that, but a lot of people don't. They think Christmas is we're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. We are not. We are celebrating the sun. All right? You may think I'm crazy, but look it up. It's a Roman Catholic pagan ritual. That's what Christmas is all about. Like I said, we'll get into that in the future, but I don't want to jump off topic. If anyone has anything to share tonight, phone number is 657-383-0616. You press 1. You'll be connected with me. I had a couple calls during my introduction on my phone. You're not to call me to call into the show. You call the show station number, which is 657-383-0616. Pay attention. And then you press 1 and you'll be connected. I noticed the chat room is pretty full tonight. Too many live callers on the line. We got about 6 or 7. So if anyone wants to contribute or talk about Thanksgiving this year, please do so now. Otherwise, I did not intend on going longer than 45 minutes tonight. I have obligations to take care of with my own personal family. I did not even want to really broadcast tonight. But I told everyone I would, so I wanted to give everyone a chance if they had something to say, contribute. This coming week, I will try to book a guest to address a certain subject. I know last week the guests that I had scheduled did not show up. They apologized, but that's no good to me. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Mean what you say, say what you mean. If you're supposed to be someplace at 6 o'clock on Thursday night, be there. How hard is it? Everyone has their cell phones so far stuck up their rear end already. How hard could it be to pick it up and say, hey, you asked me to call in? Call in, do it. So I'm going to try to book a couple guests this Thursday when we broadcast at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay? What the topic will be, I will post it on Tuesday on the internet, what we will be talking about. There are several supporters tonight that I have that have not called in tonight. I wonder where they are, what's going on. But I do have a few, and one of them did press 1, so I'll give him his time. Like I said, that's the reason why I did broadcast, because if some of you have something to say, I give you that chance. And we have made contact with a lot of people. That show we did last week, folks, did pretty well in the ratings. There, where we had Joe from Florida, we had Joe from Marion, Mike, we had Debbie from Reidsville, we had Bridget from Reidsville, and then we had Brad from Summerfield. So that show actually got a lot of hits, a real lot of hits from the ratings. I mean, I was surprised. When I think a show is going to do well, it doesn't. And the shows I don't think is going to do well, a lot of people listen to. So maybe I don't know what I'm doing here. But anyway, I'll go ahead and connect Mike from Wisconsin. Go ahead, Mike. Mike, you're on.
Hi, Joe. Hello, everybody listening. I'd like to say happy Thanksgiving. very interesting about the way Thanksgiving came about. I did learn a lot. You know, our children today are not taught the way things really happened. You know, and the school books that are being used are basically the school books when I went to school. So, you know, they should be updating, but I guess they don't. I hope you had.
So what are you saying, Mike? So, Mike, what are you saying? You learned a lot from my introduction? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I did. I did learn a lot. And I'm really interested to learn. I'm very interested to learn about Christmas. And now that you said that Jesus was born in October, did he really die on Easter? You know,
no, he didn't.
Before Easter. You know,
No, Mike, he did not. Sorry to interrupt you, Mike, but no, he did not. He actually, and there's no such thing as Good Friday. That's a farce. But he did die around that time. And if you, and you know what, I'm going to pull out my notes next show, and I'm going to, because I know you call in or you listen all the time, because I don't have them out in front of me, and I'm actually going to give you the days, because if you add them up, remember, they say he rose in 3 days. So if he was put to death on this day, how could it be this day that he actually rose that we celebrate Easter Sunday? And I'm going to actually tell you the actual days, what the churches teach you today, and you're going to say, how the hell did they come up with Sunday? So I'll blow your mind with that. But go ahead, Mike.
Well, that's interesting to know, because, you know, we're all taught one way, you know, and, you know, of course, you out of anybody know that it's all commercialized, you know. That, you know, that's the way it's the way it is, you know, like the Easter Bunny, you know what I mean?
So,
I just wanted to say happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Hope everyone had a Thanksgiving. We had a low Thanksgiving here. I've been kind of ill, so.
Mike, out in Wisconsin, just real quick, because we got people from all corners of the country. Today, here in North Carolina, it was 75 degrees. What's the weather out there in Wisconsin?
Well, the last couple of days, it's been in the low teens at night.
Wow.
And during the day, it gets into the upper 20s, low 30s. I'm glad I don't have the weather down there. You know, where they're getting those terrific ice storms and everything. I just, you know, when you get an inch or two of ice on everything, nobody can do anything. You know, you can't drive in it, you can't stand in it, you can't shovel it. You know,
that's true.
It's terrible. I mean, you know, and the way we are today, you know, go down to your breaker box and turn it off for an hour or two and go up. Go up into your house and try to live. You know? You expect the light to go on when you flick the switch. You know, you expect the TV to go on and you know, and when you turn it on and you know.
And like we talked about with the pilgrims, which was the reason why we celebrate Thanksgiving, they came over here with the shirt on their backs. They didn't have electricity. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have their Ford Caravan or Chrysler Caravan in the driveway, you know, and they didn't have insulation in their walls. They lived in huts, log cabins, and stuff like that. And you think, like, how did they live? But actually, they were quite happy, quite clean, and quite free. Mm-hmm. And today, we cannot imagine that type of lifestyle, like you just said. We expect that light bulb to turn on. So are we thankful for the technology that our founders have given us, or are we just taking it for granted? And I believe a lot of people do take it for granted. I mean, even in our generation, Mike, cell phones, when we were growing up, how did we manage without that cell phone? You know? It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and the other thing is, you know, in our country, you know, years ago when you know, there was no electricity, you know, there were no gas stations. There were no, you know, convenience stores. And then electricity came in, you know, and sometimes I think to myself, how did electricity really start? You know, how did it start going from, you know, I believe electricity started as DC, correct? Direct current, not alternating current. You know,
true,
so
it
couldn't go very far. You know, it
yes,
could go half a mile down the road, and then there would be, you know, nothing at the end, I guess. But, you know, now we're all nuclear, you know, and,
yeah,
you know, if you live in a big city, like we had to drive into Waukesha near Milwaukee the other day, and it was at night, and it's like, how are they powering everything? You know, everything is lit up. I mean, the streets are lit up, the parks are lit up, the buildings are lit up. How are they powering everything? You know, I mean,
That's true.
It's interesting. It's interesting to sometimes think, you know, what would we do without something? You know,
that's right.
I guess if my cell phone went down, I could live without it. Okay, but
sure.
Electricity might be a little bit harder. You know, my father
and I
worked
want,
at nuclear.
Yeah.
No,
yeah, and I wonder, Mike.
Punishment.
Oh, go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Yeah, my dad worked at nuclear plants, you know, and you know, he was, you know, working with voltage, you know, hundreds of thousands of volts, and you know, in my mind as a kid, it's like, you know, how the hell are you doing that, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, but you know, he did it, and he knew how, and. You know, he I don't know if he paved the way, didn't create an injury or anything, but, you know, he worked around it and, you know, came out safe and, you know, he hasn't grown another arm or anything yet. So, you know.
Well, that's it's just like air conditioning, Mike. You know, here in the South, we think, how could we live without air conditioning when it gets up to 109 degrees and the humidity is at 70%? But back 40 years ago, they didn't have air conditioning. They didn't have central air units.
Even you
could remember that.
Well, you could remember being out on the farm. You know, we're out doing hay, you know, and it's 101 degrees, and up in the barn it's 140, you know.
Oh, wow,
and
yeah.
You know, it's sweat's dripping off you like a river, you know.
That's
and
right. The barn was not air conditioning. The barn was not air conditioning.
not at all. And, you know, you think to yourself, you know, why would people do that? Now, you know, nowadays they wouldn't. You couldn't get just this generation to even get up in the morning and milk the cows. You know,
you couldn't get this generation, Mike, to give you a ride to the farm. You know, I mean, come on.
Yeah, but you
but,
know,
yeah, you're right.
You know, think about it. If, you know, if we could just turn back the clocks, you know, and people used to work the way, you know, my father worked and his father worked. You know, America would be what. You know, it would be like what Trump says. It would be great or greater.
Yeah. Well, Mike,
but,
I remember my great-grandmother, Nana. You know, here she is 74 years old. She's up at the crack of dawn, okay, and she'd walk down to the grocery. She didn't drive. She walked everywhere. And, you know, and she had a rotary phone in her house. She didn't have a cell phone. And she got by just fine. She'd be in bed at dark. 10 o'clock, 8, 9 o'clock, good God, she's already in bed, you know, and the thing of it is, that was a generation yesterday. This generation, Mike, today would not know about walking to the grocery store. This generation would not know about saving 10 cents on an apple, you know, she did, and we'd make fun of her and say she's cheap, but at the same time, hey, that 10 cents, that dollar adds up, and guess what? She always had a little nest egg hidden away, and guess what? There was never an emergency. You see, the problem with the younger generation today, they got next week's paycheck spent before they even made it. And if they don't get that paycheck, it's an emergency. And it's, you know, and we, you know, they didn't learn from the yesteryears. And that's the problem. And that's one of the reasons why I keep trying to preach these types of things, you know?
Well, you know, if, you know, the thing that really teaches a person A lesson, I would probably say, is hard times. You know?
Yeah.
You know, hard times, you know, kind of instills in you that, you know, things could,
that's right.
things were better, and you took advantage of the situation. You know?
Well, I did talk, Mike, I talked about that in the beginning, and not all people are like that, because I talked about that. There are people today that are good, hardworking people, and they're struggling. They can't keep the lights on. They can't, you know, they can't keep the house warm. And those people would give their right arm to have a good, hardworking job at a steel mill. But then again, we get into a larger picture now. All the industrial jobs are gone, and now we start talking about the New World Order, and we kind of drift off, and I don't want to do that. But there are good people out there who would really love a $30 an hour steel mill job where you work 12 hours a day and you're not looking at your cell phone every 5 minutes. You know, I'm in Walmart the other day, a store that I hate shopping at, but I have no small stores anymore around here, and I have to shop at Walmart, and I can't stand it. And I'm looking at the cashier, and, oh, another big order. You know, so you can look at their eyes. They don't want to be there. They want to go back home and be on Facebook and post selfies of themselves.
You know, hey, look at me.
You
go through the line, right? And the girl looks at me and says, did you find everything you were looking for? I says, no. She just ignores me and keeps swiping the items, you know? And it's like,
yeah.
What do you just program to say it?
Yeah, and that's right. They are programmed. And I want to bring up an issue, too, that I'm going to call Walmart next week on the next show because I forgot about it. My fiance, my wife, actually was in Walmart, and she had to go into the, you know, she was there with our newborn and my 6-year-old. And she had to go into the bathroom to make a bottle because he got hungry. She was in there for a while shopping. And some babies, hey, when babies want to eat, they're going to cry. So, you know, I want to eat now, and that's how a baby is. Well, she had to go into the bathroom, and she wasn't going to leave the child by himself, you know, God forbid, in this crazy world. So she pushed the carriage into the bathroom, and, of course, security had a fit. They approached her and told her, you cannot bring that carriage into that bathroom. I mean, why not? Because what? Because what's she going to do, steal $80 worth of food and hide it in the bottle? I mean, or what's she going to do, hide it in a bra? Why not? Why not? Because it's store policy. But, you know, like I said, I hate Walmart. I can't stand them. I've thrashed them on this show. I've called them. I mean, I know you've listened to shows, Mike, where I had the manager and I made him look like an idiot on this show. And really, I'm going to complain about that live on the air next week when we do a show. I forgot to do that. And I hope everyone who's calling in tonight will tune into that show Thursday night, 6 p.m. That is going to be one of the first things I do because it's got me so angry that, you know, and actually, I hope Bridget will call in and next week and talk about that situation because it was quite embarrassing. And it was rude. And then my son had to go through the store without his food until, you know, because I leave them in the store. I'll say, okay, do your shopping because I hate shopping. I don't want to walk around in a store. When I go into a store, I want to go in and get the hell out of there. But she goes in there shopping, and she's in there for a couple hours. So, you know, I'll drop her off and let her go in there and do her shopping. But when I came back that day, you know, she told me what had happened, and I was so pissed off. So I wanted to bring that up, and I forgot about it. And it's these big corporations, Mike. You know, these small and mama-papa shops would never do something like that. Never. Because the customer always came first.
I would have asked to see the manager, and then I would have said, you know, you could somebody off the floor to come in the bathroom with me if you're afraid I'm going to be stealing stuff or whatever. But, you know, this is something that, you know, needs to be done. You know, why do you put a baby changing area in the bathroom? If you know,
that's
what happens if you have two children or three children or four children? What do?
She had two children there with her. You know,
I mean, but if you know, if they're having a fit about, you know, bringing them in the bathroom, I mean, you know, then you better get a railing in there that we can handcuff them to. Well, you know, or something. But you know, yeah. See what I mean? It's just it's stupid. We won't put an Confederate flag on a cake, but you know, something like this, which is something that humanly needing, you know, just like you say, when a baby wants to eat, it wants to eat. I mean, you know,
and just for the record, this is the Walmart on Battleground Avenue in Greensboro, North Carolina, and I'll tell you right now, it's one of the most rudest, arrogant stores I've ever shopped at. I've always had encounters with employees there. But you see, I live out in the country, and when I venture into the city, I got to shop at these places. I'm not in the city where I have 12 different opportunities or selections. I don't have Target to look at. Target's 20 miles in the other direction. You know, so I live out in the country, and I have to go to these places, and I can't stand it. I can't stand it, and that's why I get angry with my fellow Americans, because we've thrown away the small business today, the small business that cared about the customer. Walmart don't care, and if I said, hey, you know what, keep your stuff, I'm not spending my money here, they don't care, goodbye, sir, have a good day, that's what they would tell you, you know? They don't care about you. AT&T don't care about you. Time Warner don't care about you. They can care less.
No, but I think it's happening around the nation, but especially in this area, they have a Small Business Saturday where, you know, they want you to shop at small businesses on Saturday, you know,
yeah.
And in this area, it's gone over really, really well. We got articles in the paper. I was just reading them today. And, you know, remember the small businesses, because that's where it started, you know.
Just like the farmers,
yeah.
Mike. Just like the small farmer out there, you know. We lose,
you know,
these people, these hardworking Americans, these people who care about the next person, these people who care about our country, care about the business, care about the what they're doing. We lose these people because they're being sucked up by government, big government, and corporations. And these corporations do not care about you. These big CEOs who are making billions a year, do they care about you? Hell no. And because if they had to close all their stores, you know what? I just told you, they make billions a year. Who cares? Close them all down. I'll go retire for the rest of my life. You know?
Well,
they don't care.
But
yeah, anyway.
my dad down in Florida, I mean, if they can take advantage of you and rip you off, I mean, they do it in a heartbeat. And
oh yeah,
you know, that's not the way it used to be. You know, I don't know if you remember down the street here from our farm, we used to have Greeley's Country Store, and
yep.
You know, we used to go down there. You could buy gas there and groceries, and you know, you could take a part there to get it fixed. And you know, you never had to bring cash with you. You know,
yeah.
It was on account. You know why?
Yeah.
Because he trusted you.
That's right.
You know, and you know, and yeah, he probably had a couple deadbeats. But, you know, the majority of people, I think, paid them. And we always did. You know, we were
sure.
Always, hey, I appreciated that, you know, when I'm out in the field cutting hay and I break a blade, you know, I can just run down there and have him weld it, you know, and he charges me $2-3.
Say, I'll see you next week. And say, hey, I'll see you next week, you know?
Right, you know. Or when you have a chance, you go in there, you buy something or whatever, and then you pay up your bill, you know. But
that's right.
You know, just like you say, Joe, people don't realize that, you know, the family farms are getting less and less and less because there's no generation that is taking them over. And
that's
if people think they can just go down the aisle and their food appears on the shelves, you know, wait till farmers stop farming, and then
that's true.
See, you know. You know, it's just like, you know, the gasoline. You know, one refinery plant goes down and it jumps 25 cents up here. You know,
that's right.
And it keeps going up until
true,
finally, you know, finally to get it back online and it starts coming down. But, you know, what's going to happen when there's not enough cows in the United States to supply all the milk that
That's
people
right.
drink?
That's
you
right.
Know, just think of how much milk is drank, you know, when the kids are in school. You know, they have,
yeah.
especially the elementary schools. You know, they're
yeah.
But other than that, it's everything. You know, milk is in hospitals, nursing homes. I mean, people's homes, and if that dries up, then what do you drink?
That's right, dairy. Dairy is very important. But anyway, Mike, hey, I'm gonna start getting ready to wrap it up. Thank you for calling in. I don't really have anyone else on the line tonight who wants to contribute, so. Mike, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. And we'll go ahead and everyone, 6 p.m. Thursday night, it will be the next show. And I hope everyone joins me, and I'll try to book us a guest. Hey, I hope you had a safe and happy Thanksgiving. To the supporters out there, I want to say hello to Joe in Florida, Joe in Meriden, Bridget in Reidsville, Betty Rondo in Wallingford, Brad in Summerfield, John in Wallingford. The people that can listen in tonight, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And good night. God bless.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea. A new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you were with us, or you were with the terrorists.
I also believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
Before the Congressional Committee to tell what I knew of activities which might lead to an attempt to set up a fascist dictatorship.
The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings.
President Bush signed a formal agreement that will end the United States as we know it. And he took the step without approval from either the U.S. Congress or the people of the United States.
The secret organizations of the world power elite are no longer secret.
It's known as the Bilderberg Group. Could their objective be world domination?
I'm Jim Tucker. I've chased Bilderberg for 30 years. I'll never give up the chase. Bilderberg's plan for the whole world is nothing less than world government.
I'm not comfortable with that at all. Who elected these guys to run the planet?
They are the elitists. They feel they should run the world for their own selfish interests.
Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is the very real prospect of a new world order.
Bilderberg is making great progress toward a world government, and only an educated, informed public can stop them in their tracks.
David Rockefeller admits in his own memoirs that he wants to destroy the United States.
Right.
He's a traitor!
It's good to be back at the Council on Foreign Relations. As Pete mentioned, I've been a member for a long time and was actually a director for some period of time. I never mentioned that when I was campaigning for re-election back home in Wyoming.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
need you to move off the property.
Some shots were fired.
There's Bilderbergers right there.
The Trans-Texas Corridor is a vital part because...
Over 200 years ago, they shook off the chains of tyranny from Great Britain by divine call. Citing 27 biblical violations, they wrote the Declaration of Independence with liberty and justice for all. But something happened since Jefferson called the Bible the cornerstone for American liberty, then put it in our schools as a light. Or since Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death, Patrick Henry said, our country was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. We eliminated God.
Reach the maximum time permitted to record.
To send your message,
you have reached the maximum time permitted to record.
From beyond the grave, I hear the voices of our founding fathers plead. You need God in America again. Of the 55 men who formed the Constitution, 52 were active members of their church. Founding fathers like Noah Webster, who wrote the first dictionary, could literally quote the Bible chapter and verse. James Madison said, we've staked our future and our ability to follow the Ten Commandments with all our hearts.
For more options, press 4. To cancel, press star. For more options, press 4. To cancel, press star.
In his farewell address, Washington said, you can't have national...